Welcome to the Life Over Coffee podcast, conversations for transformation.
One of the most exciting and bittersweet times in a parent's life is walking their child through the sex talk. It's the season that leads them into adulthood. It's the secret handshake that lets them know that the curtain of childhood is dropping and a brave new world is opening up in front of them. It's exciting because, well, you are the one that's leading her or leading that son. It's bittersweet because your little kid is growing up. This is something that all of us have to work through, and I think maybe the sex talk is the first time where it hits us that this little kid is no longer a little kid. Of course, the next time is when they leave home, when they go to college or leave for good and living in an independent life, and we start experiencing the empty nest, and we recognize that, well, that season is over. And we turn around and we tell young parents with little kids that if you blink, it'll be over with. And of course, they nod because they know that is true in theory. But they can look into the future and see, oh, this is a long time away. In fact, some parents will say, will this ever end? But then there will come that time. There are different seasons in a child's life where you will see it ending. And one of those times is when you have the sex talk. As far as the time of the sex talk, it could be 10, 11, 12 years of age. But it's in that season where they're transitioning from childhood to adult. We never called our children teenagers. I mean, we did. But the primary name or label that we put on them is young adults. We wanted them to know that you're going from childhood to adult, and we're going to treat you like young adults. And so, yeah, we would say that, hey, we have three teenagers, but by and large, they always understood that they're teenagers secondarily and they're young adults primarily. And so we use the biblical language of you are a child now and now you are a young adult. And the transition time of being a young adult is, well, for us anyway, was having the sex talk. I have been putting these thoughts in a book called The Talk. This book is free to you. You can have 10 million copies if you want. And of course, our rule is here at Life Over Coffee that if you get one, you got to share with 1,000 of your closest friends. And so let them know to come to lifeovercoffee.com. Head over to our store and you can get that free book. Now, what you're going to find when you get to Life Over Coffee, our store, is that there are a bunch of free books in our store. And you could have every one of them. But one of them specifically is The Talk, where I walk through having this conversation with your child, the sex talk. But if you've been following along, you know that the previous chapters of this book laid out a strong gospel-centered backdrop that prepares a parent for the actual sex talk. This foundational training incrementally built a sexual worldview in the child's life from birth to the sex talk, as I laid out in the introduction. The best time to begin the sex talk in a child's life is during the toddler years. And again, you're building that backdrop, that foundation, a familial context of relationship where they can see from a biblical perspective how a man and a woman are to interact with each other, obviously outside of the bedroom. But biblical intimacy and the relationship outside of the bedroom are not disconnected at all. They are one and the same in the sense that it is a relationship, and therefore, the children have a way of seeing how a man and a woman relate to each other by how the parents relate to each other. It is a way of living out a God-centered, other-centered perspective, obeying the two great commandments to love God and others more. You're exporting a sexual worldview, your sexual worldview, and experience to your child, which makes your goal much broader than teaching abstinence. And that has been the main point thus far, is that it's more than a sex talk. It is a lifestyle. It is a relationship. Any middle school health class can teach abstinence. Not that they would, and they teach so many other things too, as we are well aware of in the books that are in many of our schools. And that is one primary motivation as to why you want to get out in front of this. And you want to communicate a biblical view of relationship inside or outside the bedroom. And then, of course, when you come up to the actual sex talk, you'll be talking about the particulars. And that's what I want to walk through in this final chapter in my book, The Talk. What you are exporting is the life of Jesus Christ. In a word, gospel. You are exporting the gospel to your child, specifically how that life impacts them sexually. The previous chapters represent a practical philosophy of gospel-centered sexuality. What I want to walk through now is the actual talk. The weeks before you prepare and the days you spend with your child discussing the birds and the bees. More than likely, this will be the most emotional time in your child's life up to this point. And so let's start 6 months out. The gospel implies preparation. We see this in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, where God in eternity past prepared our salvation. God is an intentional God. He's a premeditative God, as we learn in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that there was a coming Redeemer, and the Old Testament talks about the coming of Christ throughout. God does not do things in a haphazard way. The gospel was not a haphazard event. God is an intentional God, and you want to be intentional during this season. God did not cobble together our salvation because of the unexpected failure of humanity. God thought about us in eternity past and mapped out a specific and practical strategy to help us, to save us from ourselves. As practical emulators or modelers of the gospel, you want to imitate him by being proactive in your preparation for launching your child into adulthood. Few plans you will ever make are more important than preparing your child for this time in their life. One of the things that you want them to feel is your thoughtful care and your well-planned sex talk, how it engages them. Some people, when they had the sex talk, you will hear them say, "Oh, my parents just told me a couple of things," or "My parents just said, you know, you'll figure it out," etc. That is a flippancy that our children do not need to be part of. Important events are planned events. The Lord plans, He prepares, He executes redemptive initiatives for His glory and for our benefit. 6 months out should be sufficient time to begin putting together the materials that you need for your retreat. And so what I'm going to lay out here is what we did. And this chapter, this final chapter in my book, The Talk, I do want you to hear clearly that you would file this chapter under the heading of a way versus the way of doing things. And the articles are very important. Knowing the difference between a way and the way is wisdom. And so you need to differentiate between what we're doing, or what we did rather. It was just a way. It's not the way. The Bible is not clear on how to execute the sex talk with your child. And so what you want to do is to exercise purposeful freedom to do what you believe is the right thing for you to do. It's one of the reasons that I don't like telling people what we did in such specificity, because some people would just imitate that and they would do it. But it could be a square peg trying to fit into a round hole, because our children are not your children and we are not you. And so we're going to share a way, our way, what we did. But I trust that you will ask the Spirit of God to illuminate your mind and to guide you. And then also that you talk to a few close friends who can help you. Those who know you and also know your children, they could have way better input than I could. What we did may work for you, may not. Maybe you want to choose parts of what we did and then add your preferences. In one sense, it does not matter how you have the sex talk as long as you are leading your child into adulthood through the means of a practical, gospel-centered worldview on sex and sexuality. Your child's personality, his spirituality, his capacity, for example, like his IQ, would be part of his capacity, his maturity, all of these things will determine a big part of your plans. And so your talk should be predetermined. It should also be pneumatic, meaning you are walking in the Spirit. The Spirit of God is leading you. You're not just mapping our way and making it your way. If you have more than one child, you already know a cookie-cutter parenting model does not work because no two children are the same. And so as you distinguish between the articles, A and the, I will share with you our way, which is a way. For example, knowing each child is different will help you decide when you have the talk with them. Now, we talked with our oldest daughter 2 months before her 11th birthday. So she was between 10 and 11 years of age. And there were several reasons for this. For example, her body was changing. And we knew that her first period was not far away. 2, it was late summer, just before school started, which allowed Lucia, my wife, time to take her on a 4-day retreat. She was going to middle school, and we assumed that the language and her new school environment would be a significant, let's say, cultural upgrade. By the way, after she came home from her first experience in public school in ninth grade, she went to a charter school, a 400-student charter school in conservative South Carolina, which was a good experience for her and our other two children as well. But after the first day of school, she came home and she said, "Dad, we were reared differently, weren't we?" She noticed that there was a significant difference in how the culture talked and acted and what she had experienced through her familial upbringing and church environment. Well, that was one of the reasons that we wanted to have the sex talk before she entered a more public setting with more culturally in-tune kids. Also, she was well-grounded in God's Word and was mature enough to where we believed that she could handle the truth, or she could handle this transitional conversation in her life. There is no set age for the talk. It's not 12. That's not a magic number. As I said, she was 2 months before her 11th birthday. And so you'll have to assess your child, their surroundings, their peer group, their context, their spiritual maturity. The timing was right for us, and the timing was right for her, as best we could understand things. And so we waited until our son was between 12 and 13 years of age, and there were several reasons for that. For example, his body was not changing. He was not entering a culturally upgraded school environment for another 6 months. He was not interested in girls. He was interested in ripsticking at that time. That's a motorized skateboard. Maybe that's a good way of saying that. Tree climbing and Minecraft. And that's what he was into. And so we wanted to, let's just let him enjoy childhood a little bit longer before we give him the secret handshake. There was no need to do that whatsoever. But between 12 and 13 years of age, then we did a similar process to what I'm going to lay out here with our oldest daughter as Lucia took her on a retreat. And so around the 6-month mark, we began gathering the materials for the talk. 6 months gave us enough time to read, to listen to the materials so that we could assess their strengths and weaknesses. Now, also 6 months out, it's helpful, especially with your first child. Some of you may remember when you have your first child, you don't know anything. For those of you who had births, like say in a hospital, you have your birth and then they give you your child and they send you home and they don't give you an instruction manual and it's your first child and it's like, I don't know what to do with this child. Well, the sex talk was similar to that. And the first time you go around, you really do want to spend more time in prep. And of course, as you get your reps in, you do it once or twice or three times, it does become somewhat old hat and you become comfortable in the process. But if this is the first time, we wanted to get 6 months out of the mark, outside of the before the actual sex talk, because we didn't know what we were doing. And we wanted to make sure that we were on the same page as we were gathering material, listening to the material, reading the material, and talking about the material. And so we did assess the materials that we had, their strengths and their weaknesses. We considered how they should be applied uniquely to our oldest child. We listened, we read, we made notes. And we did so with our daughter in mind because she was the object of all of this. She was the point, purpose of all of this, that we have this conversation with her. And so we were customizing the content toward her, around her, for her. It's very similar to counseling. You can have two people that struggle with anger, but your counseling with them can be radically different because they're two different individuals. So as we were listening, reading, and making notes, we had her in view. Now, if you are a single parent, I would recommend that you work through the material with another adult who knows you and your child, another adult of the same gender. The gospel is not only proactive in planning, but also customized to each person. All of us had a different salvation experience. We came through the same door, but our pathway to that door is as diverse as things can be. God's word is not generic. The word is specific. It's specific that speaks specifically to people. And so therefore, we wanted to adapt the materials to a specific little girl, our little girl. Now, the main core material that we used was from Family Life. It was their Passport to Purity kit. I'm saying that, but this was many years ago, and so I do not know really anything about Family Life anymore, and I don't know anything about Passport to Purity, the kit, anymore. And so I don't know if they're on 2.0, 3.0, 50.0. I don't know how it's evolved. Don't know how the organization has evolved or devolved. And so I know that they're a fluid organization like ours, and if they still hold true to a sufficiency of Scripture worldview, I don't know where they are. And so that is the footnote, the caveat that I'm giving you here to that, and that's the only apology that I will make. But we use Family Life Passport to Purity Kit, and so you'll have to vet it for its own merits according to what they are producing today as far as this resource. But the program was adequate for us, with some tweaks for what we needed to do. Lucy and I listened to all of the CDs, and for those of you who don't know what a CD is, well, you can Google it and figure it out. But we listened to the CDs separately. She made notes, I made notes, she compared strengths and weaknesses, I compared strengths and weaknesses, and then we came together and discussed how to apply the lessons to our child. Now, in addition, we used an article from CCEF written by Paul Tripp called The Way of the Wise, Teaching Teenagers About Sex. Now, in this article, in this chapter, my book, also on the website, by the way, the title of this article is Practical and Effective Instructions for the Sex Talk. If you Google that, if you search that on our website, you can find this link to that article, and you can have it. You can download it, as well as there's links here to Passport to Purity, if that is a pathway that you want to take. And so while Passport to Purity is an excellent on some of the technical aspects of the talk, how to have sex, body issues, your period, virginity, and planning the actual retreat, those things were fantastic. They were very helpful. Again, we were flying blind. We didn't know how to do this. And so those practical aspects was very helpful to us. And so it gave us the bones, the core to what we needed. But it also had some weaknesses in their program. And I'll just mention three of the weaknesses that we found, things that we had to adjust. One, they do not use much scripture. And so you will want to make sure your child has a good grasp of God's word. Family Life, maybe, for the benefit of the doubt, they could assume this essential biblical grounding. like you have a good grasp of Scripture, but they don't, or they didn't in these materials that we used. And so that was a significant weakness, because we believe that the Bible is sufficient for all things pertaining to life and godliness, including the sex talk. But we also want to work with Scripture. We never want to move far from Scripture, but they didn't have a lot of Scripture there. Number two, there were some man-centered aspects of the program. For example, if you want to overcome peer pressure, they focus on you mustering up the courage to overcome peer pressure. They don't speak clearly enough to our innate weaknesses or our need to rely on God rather than ourselves. They don't do a deep dive into the fear of man, and so they just give you a behavioral modifying concept to muster up courage, and you'll find that in their program. A lot of man-centered behavioral modifying aspects to the program, and so you want to read that and then make sure that you give your child a fuller explanation of what to put off by identifying their worship structure, heart idolatries, how to renew the mind, and how to put on. They do not go into that detail. Number three, the thrust of their curriculum was more about not having sex and not getting pregnant, and that came through clearly. Now, this perspective is a good perspective. It's a needed goal. But there needs to be more emphasis on the motive for purity, not just for pragmatic reasons. We need a Godward reason for, or a Godward motive for purity, and of course that would be whether we eat or drink, we do all for the glory of God. As Joseph would say to Potiphar's wife, "How can I sin against God?" We don't want to sin against God. We want to glorify Him in all that we do. We want to make sure that our heart motive is riveted to the idea of God's glory spreading His fame, not just trying to be pure, abstinence, not having sex, or getting someone pregnant. But they do make a case for pragmatism, and there is a case for that to be made, but it was not broad or deep enough. And so they were trying to do two things: how to prepare for the talk and how to talk. Now, on these points, they excelled. They really did. And you will not be disappointed, or we were not disappointed with the version that we went through. Now, you can preview their travel journal for parents and the Purity Retreat, the tour guide from Passport to Purity. And I have those links here in this article. Again, it's titled Practical and Effective Instructions for the Sex Talk. And you can click here and go out there, or just go to Family Life and look for the travel journal and the tour guide. Look for the Passport to Purity kit, and you will probably be able to get all the information that you need. If you want a more Godward focus, then you will have to add your preferred teaching to your plans. And while I don't want our child to have sex before marriage, the more important key to me is how she rivets her heart to God rather than the shame of fornication or the liabilities of having a child outside of marriage. Now, we also added Alex and Brett Harris's book, Do Hard Things. It was popularized back then, and again, you can find other books, but what we were trying to do, this is the point that I want you to get, is that we wanted to supplement the Family Life resources and really focus on some things that were needful for our child. So this was not a book that we used on the retreat, by the way, or that Lucia used with our oldest child on the retreat. We gave it to our daughter just before the retreat to read, which she began. She did finish it after the retreat, and there were two reasons we gave her the book. One, we wanted to heighten her awareness and anticipation for the upcoming event. Though she did not know the specifics of the retreat, she had no idea about the sex talk, she knew she was going to something special, and so we built it up. Our oldest daughter is a party waiting to happen, a social event waiting to happen, and I mean that in all the best kinds of ways. She's a very social creature. She loves being with people. She loves being at the event, and so we say, hey, you and mommy are going on a retreat. She was excited about it, and so we put a little gas in there as well and said, hey, here's a book that will help you for some of the things that y'all are going to do on the retreat, etc. And so she was pretty stoked about it. She started reading the book. Number two, we framed it as a time for her to be with her mommy and talk about the next phase of her life. without getting into the specifics prior to getting into the specifics. And so we didn't tell her about the sexual aspects of the treat because that would really confuse her and flip her out, which it did flip her out, by the way, as it does with most kids when you have that talk. That's the bittersweet part of what you're doing. It's bitter. Maybe bitter is not the right word, but it's sad in the sense that they're transitioning and you know what you're about to do to them. And so it's a little bit of a challenge for the parents. But she was ecstatic about the adventure and giving her a book about being a teenager, heightened her anticipation. Though she loved Nancy Drew mysteries and other girly type books, she wanted to add Do Hard Things to her reading list, and so she embraced this idea as she was looking forward to being an adult. The last piece of material we used was the location for the retreat. We picked the mountains of North Carolina. We are about 90 minutes away from the mountains. We can actually see them from here. For those of you who live in the Midwest along the Rocky Mountains, we have mountains too, and so don't self-righteously judge us. We call them, you can call them foothills or molehills if you want, but they're mountains to us. And so we had a retreat location picked out in the mountains of North Carolina. Our daughter and mother and her mother, they love God's creation. And so the mountains were the perfect place for them to romp around the woods, walk in the creek, slide down big rocks. We wanted it to be fun because we knew there would be embarrassing and fearful moments. She needed to go on a romp in the creeks after hearing about where babies come from. I took our son to the beach, by the way. It was a 3.5-day retreat to the beach, which he preferred that. And after I had the sex talk with him, we were sitting in a truck at that particular time. We've all had already had several talks up to the point, but we were getting to the heart of the matter, so to speak. And as I did, and afterward, I said, "Hey, would you like to go on a helicopter ride?" He said, "Yes, Dad. Yes." I think what he was really saying is, "Get me out of this truck. I don't want to be with you anymore. I want to get in a helicopter because this is heavy-duty stuff that you're sharing with me." With your location determined and your materials in hand, now it's time to start working through them. And so we're at 2 months out at this point. If you live in a two-parent home, I recommend that both parents read and listen to the materials, and you can plan some date nights for discussion. Because my wife was going to have the talk with our daughter during the late summer, we used several vacation Bible school nights to go on dates to discuss the materials. And so thank you, all the local churches in the area where we dropped our kids off, for you to babysit them while we went on dates to talk about this material that we were reviewing from Family Life. This time gave us opportunities to talk about the strengths and weaknesses of the material, as well as the strengths and weaknesses of our daughter, so that we could practicalize one to the other. These times were also opportunities to pray through our plans. These date nights proved actually to be quite rich, not only because they were related to our daughter, but also because they strengthened our relationship. And then to the actual retreat. We had some friends who owned a house in the mountains, and they were willing to let Lucia and our daughter use it. Because there was no school, we planned a 4-day retreat. And so they left on a Monday morning, and they returned on a Thursday afternoon. The Passport series does a good job laying out the plan for the retreat. I mean, it hits all the beats. There's games to play. There's puzzles, things that they work through. And of course, you can add an extra day, which we did, which gave them additional time for discussion points. But you can actually do it over the weekend if you wish. Some of those added discussion points is that we wanted to carefully unpack her relationship with Christ, which the Passport series does not do. We also, or did not do at that time with the material that we used. We wanted to learn how we could parent her siblings more effectively. That is a standard question in our home. How can I be a better dad? How can she be a better mom? How can we be better parents? It was a wonderful time for us to learn how to be better parents. Lucia planned all the meals and the snacks and brought all those items prior to the retreat, which is typically what we do. We don't eat out as a family. It's just not something that we do. We prefer to eat in. I mean, we will go out occasionally, especially if we have a coupon. But she brought all the food with them. She also went online to research the area to see what fun things they could do while they were there. This was an important aspect of the trip, as you might imagine. As our son was wanting to jump on a helicopter, we went and watched a movie too. I don't remember what it was with our son, and did a number of other things. And so they wanted to do some things around where they were staying in the mountains. We knew parts of the talk would be heavy and embarrassing for our daughter, which it was. And so there were a couple of times when they needed to stop the audio and the discussion and climb some rocks, and that made a huge difference. Lucia also planned downtime for our daughter so that she could work through her passport journal. Now, our daughter is a journaler. She's been writing since she came out of the womb, and so she took her journal writing so seriously that she wrote everything on paper beforehand and then rewrote it in her special passport journal that we gave her. She didn't want to mess up her special journal, and so she pre-wrote everything for her special occasion. Another heavy moment was the all-important trip to the drugstore to buy feminine products, which also required another trip to the rocks and to the creek so they could slide down and romp around a little bit more. She handled all these things extremely well, and I was praising God that she had a capable mom to walk with her every step of the way. Lucia's faith in God grew during this time. Her affection for our daughter grew deeper too. The bond between them was strengthened, and we all celebrated God's kindness to us. On the way home from the retreat, Lucia planned a time at the salon for both of them to get their hair styled and get manicures and pedicures. I didn't do that with our son, by the way, but it was a great time to cap off her time with mommy. Later that evening, I met with them for a prearranged dinner, during which I had the opportunity to encourage our daughter as we celebrated this transitional week of her life. She was deer in the headlights. It was like, please, I don't want to hear anything else. I'm done. Can we just eat this meal? I also gave her a promise ring and walked her through our hope that she would glorify God, not only in her body, but also in her heart. It turned out to be 4 full days of celebratory seriousness and fun. And though she was back playing in the woods and acting silly again, we knew things would never be the same again. Our little girl walked across the bridge from being a girl to becoming a young lady. It was the beginning of a new adventure for her. If your child is a toddler, I recommend that you read through my book, The Talk, and that you do it now. If you're married, it would be best for you and your spouse to read through it together. And again, you can get it in our store at lifeovercoffee.com. Though the sex talk may be years away, your child's sexual worldview is developing now. If you are a single parent, I recommend that you talk with someone in your local church of the same gender to discuss the ideas that I share in this book. You do not have to go through this alone. Perhaps you have put off the sex talk until the last minute. That does not have to be a problem necessarily. For many of us, the sex talk was put off permanently. And if you're like me, you learned about sex and sexuality as an adult after you became a Christian, talking about biblical sex and biblical sexuality because you learned about the cultural view long before you were a Christian. There is much grace for people like us. And if you're in my boat, you can appropriate the same grace into your life. Even if you're a last-minute parent, I recommend that you begin at the beginning of my book, The Talk. You may not be able to implement some of the teaching into your child's life, but you can adjust and shape your thoughts by those truths. So when you do have the talk with your child, it won't be from a blank slate. And so please go over and get The Talk at lifeovercoffee.com. It is a free downloadable digital book. It is yours. You can have as many copies as you want. For those of you who do the work of mentoring, please do the same. Get 5 copies or 15 for your small group and go through it together. Let us know how we can serve you. And then finally, if you're able to keep our resources free, like this book, then would you be willing to invest in our ministry? We need investors, those that benefit from our resources and also have the ability to support us financially, either one time or recurring monthly or annually. If you're able to invest in lifeovercoffee.com, you can do that from the website. You can do that from your foundation if you have a foundation that disperses your finances, or you can call us and let us know how we can best work with you as you help us to spread the gospel, the practical message of Christ, far and wide. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us. Learn more and get access to other resources at lifeovercoffee.com.